Welcome, everyone, to our Wednesday night call. We have an excellent call set up for you tonight. Tonight's topic, actually, is going to be stress and how it affects us. Michael is excellent on this topic as well. So many calls have been coming in with emails based on this, and we're in probably one of the most stressful times that the world has ever seen right now. Wouldn't you agree, Michael?
I would totally agree with you, Joel, and I would hate to say, I'm not saying this to be negative, but I think it's just a state of a fact and reality. I think we all need to be aware that the world's probably going to get more stressful before it gets better. But it is going to get better. But I think we're going to go through even more craziness than we're seeing right now. And so we all have to learn how to adapt so we don't allow the stress to kill us.
Right. And besides killing us before it kills us, it causes all kinds of problems. All kinds
exactly.
of weight gain, diabetes, cancer, osteoporosis,
yep.
digestive issues, everything. Hair loss. Loss of sleep, loss of appetite, too much appetite, anger. We could make a list of probably about 200 things. So just generally, do you want to touch on that basically?
Okay.
And neutralize?
Well, let's talk about the number one issue that people are calling about, because stress impacts every organ on the body. Okay, so there's no doubt about the fact that when we say that stress can impact cancer, can impact osteoporosis and diabetes, heart trouble and things like this, those are basically long-term things. In other words, if you're stressed out on a continual basis, you may not start seeing symptoms of, let's say, diabetes or cancer for 5, 6, 7 years, even though the disease condition may have already started. But one place where it is very apparent, and this is the one area that I'm getting the calls on constantly, is digestive issues. Young people, I've had probably 5 or 6 people in the last week call me who are all between the ages of 19 and 24, and they're all in school, they're all working a job, and they all start telling me about the amazing digestive issues that they have, like colitis, like constant battle rotations between diarrhea and constipation, cramping, I mean, you name it. And when I start talking to them, I say, you know, a lot of them are eating not bad, okay? I mean, they're eating pretty good, and some of them are taking our products already. So, you know, that's why they called me. And so I said, well, you know, how is your stress level? And, you know, one girl said it best. She says, well, I don't want to talk about it. I said, well, no, that's why you need to talk about it. She says, well, my stress level's out of sight. I said, well, that's why you're experiencing the problem. She said, well, she says, it's funny you would say that. She said, because about 2 days ago, I woke up from a dream, and that thought came to me. And I said, well, I don't know where the thought came from. I said, well, it's like your spirit is telling you what the fact is. And she said, oh, all right, it makes sense. And so the reality is that when we undergo stress, a couple things happen. First of all, we normally put ourselves in what's called the fight-or-flight syndrome. And the fight-or-flight syndrome is a natural reaction that our body has been endowed with by nature and God to allow us to protect ourselves. And what that normally means is that when you have a reaction where, you know, and we have to remember that our bodies are physiologically about the same as they've been for the last 15, 20,000 years. They don't change a lot. Okay, so we have about the same basic metabolism, same constitution, so on and so forth, okay? But obviously, our diet has changed dramatically. Our level of pollution, and you know, just from the air alone, has dramatically changed. And yet, the stress mechanism has stayed about the same. And so the stress mechanism is, this fight-or-flight syndrome, is when we have a reaction where we are against the wall, which is pretty much what stress does to us. In other words, we get uptight, we're fearful. In other words, our body goes into a protective mode, and normally our body is designed at that point to fight the enemy or to run, fight or flight. That's where it comes from. So in other words, if you're being attacked by a wild animal, you know, and you know you can't outrun it, you're going to stand your ground and you're going to do the best you can to fight the animal off. All right, so you are given at that point superhuman strength. That's what this reaction does. It's basically caused by cortisone from adrenaline. And adrenaline is a powerful chemical that just supercharges your muscles and gives you that super strength. Now, this is why we've seen stories where a 95-pound woman, young woman, can pick up a bumper of a car that her baby has gotten stuck under, and that car weighed, you know, that corner of that car probably weighed, you know, 1,700 pounds. And yet she was able to lift it up long enough that the baby could get out. Okay, so that's what this chemical can do in our body. Okay, so that's a good way to use it. That's what it's designed to use. And so we have to realize that the main problem is we are still experiencing the same fight or flight syndrome and reaction, which means our body is still producing the same chemicals through our adrenal glands, which is, by the way, we do this so often that our adrenals get totally drained, and we have a Starbucks coffee shop on every corner because people are trying to, you know, give themselves a kick because their adrenals can't do it anymore. Okay, so, I mean, that's not a good, healthy thing to do, but we'll get into that in a second. So basically, the problem is that if you're being chased or you're fighting something, you're using that adrenaline up in a positive, constructive way. But when you have a reaction of the fight or flight, which is you're experiencing it as a stress mode. So in other words, your body's still going through the same physiological reaction. You're still having the same contraction of the heart. You're pumping more blood. Your breathing will increase or become incredibly shallow, or even start to slow down or stop if there's real fear involved, because that's the way the body will operate, because, you know, we sometimes play dead, okay? And it becomes automatic. Unless we're conscious, we don't even know this is happening. And likewise, if we have food in our stomach, all of the digestive juices and blood that has been in our stomach digesting the food now gets curtailed and gets sent into muscles and areas of the body that are designed to react to the stress intruder. Okay? So in other words, we're creating an incredibly vicious cycle here that we become addicted to because we're used to stress and we think this is just a normal thing for me to do. And so we don't believe or even think about the fact that we can control it. And so this is where the problem lies. So you obviously see the digestive issue here. If when you've got food in your stomach and you're eating fast, first of all, because you're not chewing your food properly, your digestive juices in your mouth aren't happening, so your saliva is not mixing with your food properly. And that saliva is where carbohydrate digestion starts. So in other words, you're putting undigested food into your stomach, unchewed food into your stomach, and the stomach, because it's under stress too, it does not have the available resources to start breaking that down. And so a lot of that material, depending on how long the stress reaction will last and how many stress reactions are going on, a lot of that food particles will actually remain undigested and can actually recirculate through the bloodstream through the small intestine. Because once the stress starts to really bear on us, we start having pockets and abrasions even in our intestines, and this is where you can get colitis and Crohn's disease and all the other kinds of, you know, charming problems that can happen to our intestinal tract. So in other words, this is easy to understand that when we get under stress and we've got food in our stomach or we're eating at the same time that we're experiencing stress, we're going to automatically create a digestive problem. It's guaranteed. And I would say that 99% of the people out there who are dealing with acid reflux are dealing with that symptom for one of two reasons. Either they're eating very fast, very stressed, not chewing their food well, or they're eating junk and processed foods. And so it's a complete lifestyle choice that when you put not only food in your body fast, but you put junky food in your body fast, and your stomach is now not capable of doing the digestive work because the blood and the enzymes are not being produced because that the body is now sending all of those resources somewhere else, you can see the disaster that's in the making. And this is why we have bouts of diarrhea and constipation. This is why we get colitis. This is why we get irritable bowel syndrome. It's all the same thing. Now, I'm not saying that stress is the only reason we get these problems. There's lots of other reasons. But what I'm saying is stress will guarantee some type of digestive issue at some time or another. And that's a guarantee, and you cannot escape it.
Now, Michael, what about the apothecary dealing with stress or something like American white ginseng for stress?
Right. Well, the first thing that people need to understand, Joel, is that when you're dealing with stress, yes, before you can even deal with the stress, you have to recognize that when your body's under stress, you are using anywhere from 50 to 150% more nutrients than you were using when you were relaxed. Now, this doesn't mean calories. This means nutrients. And so this is where superfoods come in incredibly beneficial. Because when you use things like our power shake, you know, our more greens, the scoop of greens, something that's got nutrients and some carbohydrates, what you're doing is you're at least keeping your body on somewhat of a level playing field. And plus, you're taking a superfood into your body that is almost in what's called a pre-digested state. So it's easier to get it into your bloodstream so your bloodstream can circulate it to the cells that need it. So that's a real valuable thing, especially green juices. Green juices are the easiest thing on planet Earth to get into your bloodstream at any time. So everyone, if you're dealing with any kind of stress, the more greens you can pump into your body, the better off you're going to be to give your body more resources to work with. And like Joel mentioned, you know, the Be Energetic is a great product to use, especially as in a prophylactic manner. In other words, don't take Be Energetic when you've gotten stressed. Take Be Energetic before you are aware, before you know you're going to be in a stressful situation. Because the fact that it has white ginseng, white American ginseng, the bee pollen, and the cordyceps, all three of those substances have the ability to modulate stress. In other words, they will help your body cope with stress. But if you take it while you're under stress, you're putting your digestive system under more attack. That's when you're under stress, doing like barley juice is one of the best things you can do because it will calm your stomach. It will soothe your stomach and coat it. So what we all need to be aware of is we need to be preemptive. You know, I'll be the first to admit, stress happens. And I try and deal with it as best I can, but there's still situations. You know, the computer conks out, you know, whatever. And so there's things that are going to happen to us. And so because we live in a stressful society, it's imperative that we take precautions and do, like I said, prophylactic nutritional behavior. So we load up on superfoods, we load up on Be Energetic. It's even good to take some master aminos, even if you're not going to exercise, even if you just take it with something else, because it's protein that's in a pre-digested form, so it gives your body something it can utilize and work with, and that's crucial.
And as far as the apothecary, what do you think would be some of the good attributes to that?
Well, the apothecary, as you know, is our monthly special. I believe it's buy two, get one free, which is a great deal, by the way. And it was featured on the Monday Morning Health Minute. And from a standpoint of dealing with stress, the apothecary is very helpful for a couple things. First of all, it is easy to get into the system, especially if you water it down well. If you take it concentrated, it can bother people. But if you're you know, if you water it down at 2-to-1, 5-to-1, whatever is comfortable for you, it can be a real benefit because it's also giving your body lots of good nutrients, lots of good, powerful things that can help deal with extra toxins, extra acid in your body, so on and so forth. But most importantly, for the dealing with the stress, because of the melatonin that's in it, it really does help us prepare for better sleep at night, especially if you mix it with some aloe vera, because the aloe vera helps to activate it. And one of the big problems that people who habitually deal with stress have, they don't sleep well because they get into a really bad cycle. And the cycle is nothing more than the fact that the stress cannot be let go of. And so by using the apothecary at night, even when you're not needing it, you'll create a pattern that will allow your body to recognize that sleep is an important thing for your body to experience. And if you're not getting enough sleep, by the way, stress even becomes more easy to go into. And another thing to keep in mind, and this is something that people very rarely think about, but it's incredibly important in terms of sleeping. If your body is void of nutrients, in other words, if you've used up all your good nutrients and you try and go to sleep and you take the apothecary, you're not going to have a restful sleep because your body is in another mode. Now, at the same time, we don't want to load our bodies up with a lot of food, you know, late in the day. I mean, I always tell people, you know, eat like a king or queen for breakfast, a prince or princess for lunch, and a pauper at dinner. So really, you want to try and consume 80 to 90% of your calories, you know, by 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon at the latest. And the reason is because your body goes into a detox mode every day at around 10 o'clock at night. And so if you've had a big meal at 7 o'clock or even 8 o'clock, whatever, or even 6 o'clock, if it's a huge meal, your stomach is still working on it at 10, and especially if you've eaten some protein, heavy protein. That could take 5 to 6 hours before it even starts to break down effectively. So that means when your biological clock hits 10 o'clock and the body recognizes and the stomach is sending messages saying, I'm still working, then the body cannot go into its detox mode. And that's not a healthy thing because going into a detox mode also helps you enter the sleep cycle with the circadian rhythms because the detox is contingent on rest. And so if you can't rest, you also aren't detoxifying as well as you want to. So what you want to do is if you find yourself coming up short at the end of the day, instead of trying to eat a bunch of calories because you think you're hungry, and you might be hungry, okay, you're better off taking a power shake. You know, you're better off taking some more greens or scooper greens or, you know, in other words, if you need to have a piece of fruit, you can have a piece of fruit also, but don't have something with a lot of sugar in it. You know, in other words, have a lower sugar content fruit. But the point is, if you got to put something in your body after 5 or 6 o'clock at night, make sure it's something that doesn't take a lot of time to be digested. So fruit, especially if you chew it well, that's going to be digested well. You know, any of our green drinks are perfect for that. You know, even taking some barley juice with some Aster Aminos, I mean, that's a fine thing to do. But you want to stay away from putting lots of calories in your body at that time because you don't want to shut down that detox mode because that impacts your sleep cycle. So I know this is all rather complicated, but the fact is it's not. It's simple. If we follow the laws of nature that have been put down to us, we're always going to be doing the right thing. But the problem, Joel, is we have been conditioned by society to change the natural order of things and adapt our bodies to a very unnatural lifestyle. And that's really where the problems start happening.
Okay, so since we're on the topic of the cherry, do you want to touch a little bit more? There's so many questions coming each week about the cherry. Like, I see one right here about being I do not eat many fruits, and I'm wondering if the cherry would be okay to take care of my fruit needs.
Well, the cherry juice is a very, very high-quality fruit. There's no doubt. Tart cherries have a very high ORAC. They are loaded with nutrients. In fact, you know, tart cherries have one of the best nutritional profiles of any of the fruit juices. There's no question about it. But if you're not doing lots of fruits during the day, I would highly recommend not only maybe using the cherry juice at night, but also consider using the biofruit, because the biofruit has a very low glycemic index. It's actually safe even for people that have sugar problems. And you're getting fruits that you often don't buy. And they are vacuum dried, just like the green juices. And so they're enzyme active, and so they're almost as good as fresh. And that's important because you're getting a variety. But there's no doubt about the fact that the cherry juice is incredibly helpful for people with inflammation, with gout, with arthritis. And keep in mind, a lot of people with those kinds of conditions will stay awake and be unable to sleep because of the pain. So you're killing two birds with one stone, as it says. You know, in other words, the cherry juice is going to give you the melatonin, but it's also giving the ellagic acid and the parallel alcohol, which both help with the inflammation, the gout, and so on and so forth. And so that's a real good, you know, good effect. And I think that that's very, very helpful. You know, I think the other thing that it's important that we go over is this idea of, you know, how stress is going to be responsible for a lot of other health problems. Because, let's face it, you know, cancer is on the rise. The statistics say that more people are living from cancer, but that's just because they're being kept alive. The incidence rates of new cancer cases is increasing, okay? Just like osteoporosis is on the rise. Now, statistics will tell you that that is being curtailed, but that's because people are being given drugs like Fosamax and Boniva, which basically short-circuit the body's own ability to process calcium. And one of the side effects of taking those drugs is a higher increase in cancer. And so, you know, cancer is a serious concern that stress impacts directly. And the reason why it does is because if you are diagnosed with cancer, you go to a doctor, I mean, let's say a man goes and has his PSA tested, okay, and his PSA goes up, and the doctor, you know, does a physical exam and blah, 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 and determines that, you've got a little tumor or something, and people say, well, gosh, you know, I didn't even know I had it, because a lot of times you don't feel it yourself, you know, until it gets rather large. The reality is that started probably anywhere from 7 to 15 years before your PSA even went up. So that's how long cancer can take to occur. And cancer is nothing more than the body's own ability to protect itself. And so one thing that people have to realize is that cancer itself is not the enemy. An interesting piece of information, Joel. Are you aware of the fact that our immune system that our body has as a natural defense mechanism will do everything it can, everything possibly it can do to protect a cancer cell from being destroyed by the body? In other words, the immune system protects the cancer. It doesn't destroy it. Now, the medical profession will tell you, well, the immune system's gone haywire. No, the immune system has not gone haywire. The cancer cell is providing a necessary function. And the necessary function is it has been, a normal cell has transmuted itself into a cancer cell because there's too many toxins in the body. And one of the big factors of toxins is acid. And one of the major causes of acid is stress. So once again, we're back to the same thing. So not only do we want to be aware that there are things we have to do to protect ourselves from a prophylactic standpoint, you know, knowing that the world's stressful. But we also have to start becoming proactive about the stress. And one thing that is very helpful to do, and I think you and I have talked about this before, Joel, but, you know, one thing that happens all the time is that we typically go through a process. And the process is we're doing something, and then we are exposed to some kind of stress. Let's say the computer crashes. Let's say someone cuts me off on the freeway, okay? And so typically we go from the stimulus of the stress, whatever the activity is, whether it be the computer crashing or someone yelling at us or whatever it is, doesn't matter, okay? We go from that to our reaction. And most of us are of the belief, and I certainly know I was for many, many years, that between the time that the stimulus occurs and my reaction takes place is automatic. In other words, it's just a flow. You know, there's nothing, in other words, there's nothing I can do about it. And a lot of us have grown up believing that that's true. I can't help myself. There's nothing I can do. I've heard this time and time and time again. All right. Well, psychology and neuroscience now tells us that we are in better shape than we think. Because when we experience a stimulus, like I said, let's say it's the computer crashing or someone yelling at you, or all of a sudden you get scared, you know, a snake is in front of you, whatever, that between the moment of that experience where our senses take something in, we have a window of time prior to our reaction. Now, there is no doubt about the fact that in many cases, that window of time is a minuscule minisecond. In fact, it's not even the blink of an eye. It can be so fast that it seems automatic, but it's not automatic. We are doing it consciously, subconsciously and consciously. We cannot do it subconsciously. So in other words, our subconscious is motivating our conscious. So, but we are still doing it. That's the thing that's so powerful about this. So what we have to start doing is recognizing that when something happens, and believe me, as we all know who are on this call tonight, I know you know it, Joel, I know it, we are going to experience something that is stressful. Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, when we have something that hits us that's stressful, what are we going to do? We have to force ourselves to pause and to then take a position of how am I going to deal with this? Obviously, if there's a snake in front of you, you know, you got to figure out how to protect yourself, especially if it's a rattlesnake and it's, you know, it's wagging its tail and it's got its fangs showing. You know, you either got to better take a stick and hit it or move it or jump out of the way fast. Okay, so that's a good plan of attack. But when we're talking about the stressful situation where the computer crashes or the guy cuts you off on the freeway or whatever happens, we have to grab the moment and we have to say to ourselves, okay, I'm in charge. Now, the first 100 times you do this, you're probably going to fail. But the 101st time you do it, you're going to get better. And some of us aren't going to have to do it 101 times. I mean, I think I've gotten fairly good at it, knock on wood. You know, but I failed a good 40, 50 times, even though I said I wasn't, I still did. But the point is the more you consciously do it, the better you will get at it. Which means that you don't cause that extra physiological stress on your body. In other words, the stress that is outside of us does not have to become the stress inside of us. And that's the secret. And so if we really work on that consistently, we will become the master of our own destiny. And it's powerful. It's absolutely powerful. Because how many times do you see people who are constantly reacting to what we think is a totally insignificant problem? Of course, the other person's problem is always insignificant. When it's happening to us, it's significant. So that's another way we can help ourselves. When we observe someone else going into a stressful mode, we can actually start to visualize ourselves being in that stressful mode as if we are the observer looking at ourselves. And then it becomes easier to separate the experience. That's what we're attempting to do. We want to separate the experience from our consciousness at enough time so we can evaluate it. And once
right.
we evaluate it, then we can make the right choice.
Excellent. Very well said, Michael. Moving on to the cherry as well. The question comes in, I see this question all the time. The cherry gives us really bad gas, stomach pain sometimes.
Yep.
Just with certain people, it affects them that way. And you mentioned something about doing it as a concentrate by itself. Or if they would, could you expand on that a little more?
I'll be glad to expand on that because I am a personal recipient of this problem. If I drink cherry juice too concentrated, I get gas. I get bloatedness from it. If I have it with the aloe, it's much better. For me, if I water it down one part aloe to like three parts water, and a squirt of aloe, one part cherry, three parts water, a squirt of aloe, it doesn't bother me at all. Okay, and I've talked to people who have to go 10-to-1 on the cherry juice. Everyone's different, but what I can tell you is it is so concentrated that I believe a tablespoon of cherry juice is equivalent to something like 30 cherries? I mean, it's a pretty amazing concentration level.
Right.
So, in other words, how would you feel if you ate 30 or 40 or 50 cherries, you know, within 30 seconds? I mean, you'd probably have a stomach ache. And so that's the problem, is that you need to water it down, you need to sip it slowly so your body can utilize it properly. Because it's a very powerhouse. It's very nutritious, but it's very concentrated. And the body, depending on who you are, I mean, I know someone who puts it on their ice cream and they say it doesn't bother them. You know, I mean, I don't think I could do that. But you have to experiment to find out what works. But if you're having gas from the thing, if you're getting bloatiness from it, then I would suggest adding more cherry juice, I mean, more aloe, definitely doing more water. You might consider, doing it at, making sure that the water you're putting in is a little bit warm. That sometimes helps. If it's too cold, a lot of people will do the cherry juice and keep it in the refrigerator, which you should. But then they'll put cold water with it. And that's almost guaranteed to cause some problems for a lot of people. So, room temperature for the water, and because the cherry juice is cold, if you're only going to mix it 1-to-1 or 2-to-1, have your water even a little bit warmish, or tepid at least, so that the cherry juice gets to be room temperature too, and that sometimes will help.
I have another one here. Is it okay to mix the American white ginseng with the cherry?
If you're going to take it, you mean taking it like at night?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. American ginseng normally will not bother or keep anyone awake. However, American ginseng and bee pollen together with cherry juice could keep somebody awake. And it's because of the amino acid profile in the bee pollen and the cherry juice, you know, could be more of a stimulant than a relaxant. Because the melatonin that's in the cherry juice, got to remember, it's a naturally occurring melatonin. It's not designed to have a drug effect like synthetic melatonin does, where it shuts down your pineal gland. Okay. So in other words, the melatonin that's in the cherry juice is not powerful enough that you could get addicted to it, number one, which is good because you can get addicted to the synthetic melatonin, which is very dangerous. But it's also it's going to take a back seat to something that could combine with it that could be stimulating. So that could be a problem. I actually talked to someone, maybe it's the same person who sent the question, I don't know, but I actually talked to someone who was using it at the same time because they were experiencing a lot of stress, so they thought that by taking the Be Energetic and the cherry juice that would help with the stress and to relax them and sleep. And I explained that, well, no, it's because it's an adaptogen, it's not designed to relax you. It's designed to be a stress modulator. So that's a whole different ballgame. But that's a good question.
Excellent. Looks like we're just about out of time, Michael. Just continuing the call right now. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we say goodnight?
Well, I think we've given people a whole bunch of information. I mean, is there anything you want to say? Or next week, by the way, we will not be with you. Dave and Amy will be with you doing the first call of the month. And then after that, we will be addressing, we can't tell you ahead of time because I'm sure we'll have some questions come in, and so you'll have to be surprised.
Right.
One of the things we will try and do, and it's not going to happen immediately, but we're going to try and work it so we can announce basic subject matters when we send out the email. But I don't know how soon that will happen because it's an automatic thing.
Okay. Well, let's say goodnight. Thank you so much for being on the call tonight with all of us.
Well, thank you, Joel. And let's remind everyone that we are on the second, third, fourth, and fifth Wednesdays of every month.
Right.
And if you have a question, you can email it in to askphpdoc, that's askphpdoc@gmail.com. Or you can always call me, 800-962-LIFE. That's 800-962-5433. And if the question is completely general, I will definitely save it. But if it needs specific, I'll get back to you and may also answer it on the call. So, you know, it helps both ways.
Isn't that wonderful? I don't know any other company that would do something like this. This is just great.
Neither do I. We are unique.
Are available for everyone within the company.
And not only that, Joel, but let's remind everybody that the real unique part of PHP is that we have high quality, we have superfoods, and we have fair prices. And no artificial additives, binders, or excipients that you find in so many supplements today. None of them.
How do you beat that?
You can't.
Right. Exactly. Well, thank you, Michael, once again. Excellent job. Great.
Thank you,
Joel. Covered everything. We're right on time. Everyone have a healthy, happy night. Peace and love. Purim.
Happy Easter, happy Passover, whatever your...
All the good holidays,
you know,
yes.
All the good holidays,
bunch
exactly.
of holidays coming up. And once again, be healthy, be happy, and be safe.
And thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.